Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball, your home of discussion and analysis of Major League Baseball. This podcast will instantly awe you in the use knowledge of MLB. Hear the latest MLB stats, standings, and news here. James Morris, who is filled with fun knowledge of MLB, is your host and has many guests come on the podcast weekly. Please enjoy this one-of-a-kind podcast. Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball. I am your host, James Morris. And it's just crazy to me how long I've been doing this podcast. And we have a lot to talk about, but it's kind of reflect. We've done this. This will be our 47th episode. I've been doing this for a long time. I believe next April will be 2.5 years, I believe it will be. Anyway, this is fun for me to do this. I think it's really, really awesome. 47 episodes. It's pretty crazy. But there's some pretty, pretty big news happened in the past 2 weeks or so. And first thing I do want to talk about is the Padres. I might call this podcast "The Padres Have a Problem." And why do the Padres have a problem? What is that even supposed to mean? So we all know Fernando Tatis Jr. got banned for, 50 games? So something like that. He's a shortstop. So CJ Abrams filled him for a little bit, and then they traded him. But Ha-Seong Kim really took the spot at shortstop well, and he did it really well there as well. Their infield looks really good. Manny Machado at third, Ha-Seong Kim at shortstop. Brandon Drury can play second base. The infield looked really good. Igai Rosario, I like what I see through him. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. Matthew Batten can play there as well. Jake Cronenworth, I can't forget him. But Fernando Tatis Jr., MVP last year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know why I can't remember that. But amazing, phenomenal player. Let me pull up his stats. And I really like Fernando Tatis Jr. Do I think he's a little overrated? Honestly, I do. But you really can't grong hitting 42 home runs, batting .282, and stealing 30, 40 some odd bases in 130 games. Phenomenal player, a great player to be exact. But this is why I want to call this, does the Padres have a problem? Because the Padres are looking to add a shortstop. And I'm like, okay, so anyone kind of wants a shortstop, maybe not an all-star shortstop, maybe not someone that, maybe a triple-A guy, maybe. But no, they're interested in Xander Bogaerts. And not just interested, it looks like of all the teams, the Padres will get Xander Bogaerts. And are they thinking on trading Fernando Tatis Jr.? Are they thinking to put Tatis Jr. at second base? Are they thinking to put Fernando Tatis Jr. at DH? Especially with the most errors in 2021. I have no idea. This is confusing for me. The Padres probably will get Xander Bogaerts and either replace Fernando Tatis Jr. or move him to a different position. But if they get Xander Bogaerts, the Padres have the best team in baseball without a doubt in my mind. Yeah. They're better than the Astros right now. They are better than the Dodgers. They're better than the Yankees. They're better than the Red Sox. The Padres, if they get Xander Bogaerts, they will have the best roster in all of Major League Baseball, maybe for decades to come. I really, really, really think the Padres, if they do that, it would be very, very smart for them. I don't want to see them do that because it's just not fair, but it is what it is. But now, another interesting team is the Angels. The Angels, yep. And they just traded Hunter Renfro, and they trade him for a couple prospects, and I really don't know too much about the prospects. I was just doing some work on them now. But the Brewers traded Hunter Renfro to the Los Angeles Astros for just Jansen Junk, Elvis Preguero, and Adam Semenaris. And who are some of these people? Jansen Junk is a pitcher who, if you all remember him, he threw like six innings, no runs, one run maybe. And they're all showing his last name. He throws junk. And I thought that was kind of cool. 8 innings, struck out 11 batters, only started 2 games. He has a 6.48 ERA in the major leagues. But in the minor leagues, he did pretty good. I can't find his minor league stats as of right now. But I like Jansen Junk just because he's been consistent for a while. Oh, here's his minor league stats. He has, in 2021, he had a 3.86 ERA, and then the year before, a 1.78 ERA in Double-A. That was a nice rhyme. But he really saw a player. He strikes out a decent amount of batters, nine batters, strikeout per nine innings. He gets hurt quite a bit. He does not give up a lot of home runs, does not walk a whole lot, strikes out a decent amount. I mean, the talent is definitely there for Jansen Junk, and I think the Brewers should be excited for this trade, but I don't think this is what we would call a big, exciting trade for the Brewers, because you have no idea what to expect from these two prospects they got in return. Hunter Renfroe, he's an amazing, amazing player, and by trading Hunter Renfroe and by possibly trading Colton Wong, I feel like the Brewers are kind of saying to everyone that it's a salary dump year, especially with, I believe, Hunter Renfroe owed them $8 million, something like that, and that in return makes the Angels roster look really, really good. Mike Trout in the outfield for the Angels, Taylor Ward in the outfield for the Angels, and Hunter Renfroe. That could be very well the best outfield, the best three outfielders in all of baseball right there, and left field, right field, and center field. I'm not saying Taylor Ward is the best, but he is really, really good. Not to mention, they got Julio Urshela and Tyler Anderson so far. They'll have Tyler Anderson three more years. Julio Urshela got him from the Twins and the Halos. I'm just going to call them the Halos from now on because I keep wanting to say the Astros. Have made a lot of good trades here so far. Tyler Anderson, they got pretty much nothing out of him. A free agent, obviously. But Giro Shella got... They didn't have to trade too much out of giving him to the Twins. Giro Shella, a solid player, third baseman that should start for them. Tyler Anderson, he might have a bad year again. You never know, but he had a really solid year the year before. Elvis Preguero, the other prospect the Brewers are getting from the Angels. I almost said Astros again. Posted 17 innings, 12 strikeouts, and a 6.5 ERA, negative 0.5 WAR for the Angels, and only 13 games as relief for Major League. So he's obviously also a rookie, and in the minor leagues, he posted pretty good numbers. I'm looking at his stats right now, 2.84 ERA in 2020. Two in the minor leagues, and in 2021 he posted a 2.51 ERA, and he throws very fast. He strikes out a decent amount of batters. His walks are a little high. I mean, they can be anyway. Home runs he gives up quite a bit, but you're looking at a possible setup guy if he can keep this up. A 6'5 guy, 208 pounder. I really like this guy. I do not like his form. If he can put his back more into it, I don't think he's gonna be a really, really good pitcher because his form wears out. He has less velocity when he throws how he's throwing. Do I think he's going to be good at any point? He could be. He very well could be, but his form is telling otherwise. The other player they got is Adam Semenaris. I really have pretty much no idea on this guy. They got him from the minor leagues. He doesn't have tons of minor league stats, but he is a pitcher. He's 2022 for the Rocket City Double-A. He posted a 4.70 ERA, striking out 27 along 30 and a third inning. So strikeout, not too much. Walks a decent amount, but he is a lefty, I believe. Yep, he is a lefty. And he, honestly, I really like this guy. I was watching videos on him earlier, and just the off speed just looked really good to me. And in many, many years, I think this guy could be a pretty solid pitcher. I mean, to be 100% honest. But the Angels, they really want to be good. You got Shohei Ohtani, you got Mike Trout, Tyler Anderson now, Joe Adelphi can have another good year. Anthony Rendon, he is back. Hunter Renfroe, a lot of these guys, Julio Urshela, Jared Walsh, Taylor Ward. The only thing they need to work on is their relief, I gotta say. Raisel Iglesias is now with the Braves, I believe, yeah. Logan Ojapa, he's a catcher. Maybe he can help those pitchers, even though he's a rookie. But you never know. You could see, I think they did get Tyler Anderson. The relief maybe needs to step up a little bit. But Hunter Renfroe has a really, really good arm for the, I almost said Astros again, the Angels, and they will guarantee he's definitely going to do good for the Angels. And I would say you can guarantee him, Renfroe, batting about 230, hitting 30 home runs or something like that. But we still got a couple free agents. That is obviously Xander Bogaerts and big free agents. Carlos Correa is looking that he might go back to the Twins. I mean, a lot of different teams are interesting. But just as of right now, The White Sox have officially gotten Mike Clevenger on a free agent deal. It's a one-year deal. Nothing yet to confirm, but I might as well say he's recovering from a Tommy John surgery and returns to the mound for the Padres from 2020 through and 2022 and threw 114 innings over 22 starts and had a 4.33 ERA along that way. So the Astros getting their bullpen better, I guess you could call it, and the White Sox are wanting to get better. Obviously, who doesn't want to get better? But they had so much hype going into 2022, not 2020, they're going into 2022, and they absolutely, I don't want to say downgraded, but you know where I'm heading. I picked them to go to the World Series, and they finished 500 with 81-81, had a negative 31 run differential. Why am I keeping wanting to say the Astros? Golly, I've only talked about the Astros once, and even that for like 5 seconds. But I thought we could dive into the White Sox a little bit. Their roster is exceptional. You got Tim Anderson at shortstop. You got Dylan Cease at an amazing year. Lurie Garcia, solid second baseman. Lucas Giolito, strikeout pitcher, one of the best in the game. Yasmani Grandal, getting old. He is 34 years old. Is okay. Kendall Graveman, a solid pitcher. Liam Hendricks, one of the best relief pitchers in the game. Jairo Lopez, Joe Kelly. I mean, the lineup really is good. Luis Robert Jr., this lineup is by no means. I mean, it is really good. And I think if they can hold on to some of these guys, like if they can just take that next, I don't know what you call it, leap, the next step, if they can just maybe even get just a little bit better, I think the playoffs are definitely within reach of them. They were only, well, they're only 11 games out of first place, but in the wild card, they were a lot closer, finishing only 5 games away from the wild card. The Orioles are another team we're going to talk about maybe later, different podcast, I really don't know. But the other news, I did promise you guys I'd talk about the Cy Young winners in last podcast and who won the Cy Young. And that is Justin Verlander and Sandy Alcantara. So let's talk about Justin Verlander just for a bit here. So he is a righty who came back from Tommy John surgery and played better than ever. And I have a really good theory why I think he's so much better than he was. So let's kind of recap from his years back. So he was with the Tigers for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 14, maybe even 15 years. I think I might have counted that wrong. But he was with the Tigers 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there years. And he was phenomenal. He really was. I mean, posted great ERA. He was a Rookie of the Year, an MVP, a 3-time Cy Young, a Triple Crown, 2-time World Series winner, ALCS MVP, 2-time ERA title. I mean, wow, this guy is an amazing player. And with the Tigers, his second year with the Tigers, or no, I take that back. Yeah, second year with the Tigers, he won Rookie of the Year. And then the year after that, he was an All-Star. And then 2009, he was an All-Star. And the next year, he was an All-Star. And then he was an MVP. And then he was another All-Star. I mean, so many All-Stars, so many All-Stars, so many Cy Young candidates. He won Cy Young 3 times, I believe it was. But the big thing is he threw absolute gas his first 14 years or so. I mean, he literally struck out 269 batters in 2009, 290 batters in 2018, 300 batters, yes, in 2019. I thought I saw that wrong. And he's amazing. He really, really is, and he was and is. And he is really, really good. He won 24 games in 2011, yeah. Had a 2.40 ERA, and just now he has a 1.75 ERA. So what made him get better after his Tommy John surgery? Here's the first instinct that I think why he got better. One, he threw 100 miles an hour, 98 to 101 miles an hour for the first, you know, pretty much his entire career until he had Tommy John surgery. And then in 2022, he had Tommy John surgery. He doesn't throw as fast. If he hit 98, he was happy. And he doesn't throw as fast anymore. And the reason I think he has a better year, I mean, that's not a very, very good reason, but I think the reason he had a better year now than he did is because he doesn't throw as fast. And I feel like the hitters, I mean, maybe it's because the hitters are getting ready for a blow-away fastball, and they're getting ready for, not they think it's a changeup, and it's not. And I think that's why he struggles in, at least this year, I mean, in past as well, but I think that's why he struggled this year in the World Series and the playoffs, because now they've learned what he can do. He doesn't throw as fast. His curveball, all you need to do is read it, and the game is over, just like Framber Valdez. And I think the Astros are a dangerous team, especially their pitching. But I think that's why, I mean, with a 1.75 ERA to win the Cy Young in 2022 for Verlander, he must, there has to be something else. I know he likes his shoulders back and then he rears back, fire those hips, and has everything going toward the batter, or the catcher, I guess you could say. But I really don't know why he had this bounce back year. No one knows. I mean, maybe Justin Verlander, but I really have no idea. An all-star and MVP candidate, Cy Young winner. He was also Cy Young winner in 2019. So something's working for him. He is a really, really good pitcher. I like a lot what I see through him. And another pitcher, one of my favorite pitchers of all time, is Sandy Alcantara. He won Cy Young as well for the Miami Marlins. And he is an interesting pitcher. He put up an 8 WAR for the Mariners, or for the Marlins, this year. He was an All-Star in 2019, even though losing 14 games and posting almost a 4 ERA, he did shut out 2. But the big thing for me is that he was brought up in 2017. Well, I guess we're not going to count that since he only had 8 games, only 8 innings. But let's say he was brought up in 2018. He was a former Cardinal, but then got traded to the Marlins, and the Marlins kept him and knew he had talent. They put him in for 6 games in 2018-2019. They just said, okay, we're going to go all out Sandy Alcantara. He's going to play the entire season, and he did. 32 games, he was an all-star. His first, like, legit year, but he did post 14 losses. But the ERA was there. He struck out 151 batters, a solid striking out 81 batters, and then giving up 23 home runs and 197 innings. And then 2020, we're not going to count that. 2021, he lost 15 games, but this time struck out 201 batters. So the strikeout rate is absolutely there. Complete game 6, and he shut out a batter as well. But he threw 205 innings. But then everyone thought, since Sandy Alcantara throws absolute gas, he has that form that just blows away batters, the nasty slider, the changeup, the sinker, the cutter, I believe he has a cutter. They knew that some way, somehow, they could use that for their advantage, because he's been posting decent numbers for the past 4 years or so. And they knew they needed to unlock that talent for Sandy. And they did, winning 14 games this time and 228 innings, a league best. He struck out 207 batters and had an ERA of 2.28. So Alcantara, a phenomenal player, kept it up. He knew if he could trust the process of him doing his bands and all that, and getting that form, getting ready, just he was pretty much unhittable. Yes, he did have obviously a few bad outings. I mean, yes, he did post a 2.28 ERA, but the reason I think he was so good is because he really learned how to use that fastball. He knew when to use it in the right spots. First pitch fastball, foul that off. First pitch fastball again, fouls that one off. Get a slider away. Let him chase for that. If they don't, you have a 99 to 100 miles an hour fastball in your back pocket. So he used what he needed to do in the right times. And when you throw gas and you have a nasty slider and you use that correctly, you can pretty much be the next Jacob DeGrom, meaning pretty much the next unhittable pitcher in baseball. And I think that's a big thing. If literally you could have an 86 miles an hour fastball for all I care. If you locate the pitch well and if you can know what to throw in the right times, you will be unhittable. No doubt about it. I mean, that's all it's about. That's pretty much all it's about. You could be a contact pitcher, but it's all about location. It's all about placing the pitches in the right spot, when and where. But I'm trying to figure out if there's any other trades we should talk about or signings. We talked about Mike Clevinger. We talked about I know what we should talk about. Now, this could be a little longer podcast. We're going to talk about something that I'm really excited to talk about. And before I get onto that, here's our sponsor. No, just kidding. We're going to talk about that I do have a series coming up. It's called Baseball Has a Problem, and it's about why were there was a no-hitter. There was a 15 game that went to 0-0, 18 innings in the 0-0 in the playoffs. Why did that happen? I think baseball is going to completely change the balls, the baseball. Normally the seams are out more. The inside of the baseball is kind of soft. I mean, you can't feel that, but it's there. They're going to make the seams smaller, I bet, and they're going to make it easier to hit for the batters. But we'll talk about that in our series. But this is what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about batter positioning. In other words, shift. And so just to recap the shift. The shift is a thing where the fielders can go in up like super weird directions. You know, if you play third base, you can be a second baseman because you know they're going to probably hit it in that direction. But that is gone. I've talked about this already. That is gone. You cannot, the shift is not there. And next year, you can all, you can't do much. Only you have to have two fielders in one spot, two fielders in this spot. But who had the most, you know, who did the people shift on the most? Carlos Santana was one, Nuki Goodrum, Alex Dickerson, Cal Raleigh, Jose Ramirez, the list goes on and on. But we're going to talk about all these players that you got shifted on a lot. And could they have like a comeback season? I did air quotes there because the shift killed them in a way. It really did. And I think since the shift is gone, they could really have a bounce back season. I think the first player that will have a bounce back season is Corey Seager. Corey Seager got shifted a lot. To be exact, he got shifted 92.8% of the time. And he hit batted 245 with 33 home runs. Being shifted that much, being shifted 92.8% of the time and still batting 245, that is pretty, pretty good. And I think he also batted 306 and 307 the year before. He did not get tons of playing time. That is maybe why. But what I think is interesting about him, his most home runs he hit was 26, and that was the second year MLB, and then all from there was 19, 15, 16, you know, 4. And then all of a sudden in 2022, he hit 33 home runs. I think because he knew the shift was going to catch on to him, so he had to hit the long ball, and if that didn't work, you know, oh boy. But I think Fernando Tatis Jr., my words are bad today. I think Corey Seager will have a phenomenal year. I think you could see him batting 320, 330 next year just because the shift is gone and he can figure out. He doesn't even worry about where to hit on the barrel of the bat. He doesn't need to when to hit it, where to hit it, how to hit it. Just hit the ball and hopefully it'll be in the gap. Most likely 92.8% of the time it will land where it wouldn't last time. And he is a guy that still has talent. And that I think will be really good. Another player that I think Carlos Santana, since he got shifted 98.3% of the time, is still batted like 219 or something like that. I think he'll be a lot better next year. But I think the biggest player for me is Taylor Chmiel. He got shifted 91.5% of the time. And even though he did not play tons of games, only 43 games for the Mariners, he batted 196, but he has so much talent in there, so much to unlock in the minor leagues. They don't really play the shift that much, and he batted like 200, 300, something like that. And he is a really, really good player, 91.5% of the time, and he hasn't even unlocked his full amount of talent. He will be really good. I really, really like what I see through him, and he's really good. But another player I'm going to talk about, two or three more, is Cody Bellinger. Got shifted 90% of the time, and we all know he has been having some bad years, and maybe this is what could unlock his inner self. He was an MVP, a rookie of the year, and then he batted 210. Yeah, 210. He batted 305 his MVP rookie of the year season, and now he's batted 210 with 19 home runs. Getting shift 90% of the time did not help with that. So I think you could see those points in the average jump up 30%, maybe even 40 points, and he could very well be batting 300 for the next team he's going to be on easy. Another player, Kyle Tucker, he got also 90.9% of the time. And he was a rookie of the year. I mean, he was an MVP candidate, and he still posted great numbers. The big thing for him is he hit 30 home runs. Long ball helped him, but he batted 257 with the shift, shifted 90% of the time. So I think he will possibly be an MVP next year. I think the biggest players to watch out for, I got to add a Kyle Schwarber in there because you know him. He hit 90% of the time as well. But I got to say, Cody Bellinger, the teams to watch out for are the players. Cody Bellinger, Kyle Tucker, Carlos Santana, and Taylor Chmiel, and Corey Seager. But I think the best player next year will be Corey Seager. Anyway, thank you for listening to MLB from CDA Baseball. I really hope you like this podcast. Please share this, and thank you.